All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio. This is Veterans Radio. And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio. We're very excited to have you here. My name is Dale Thronberry, CW2 type, helicopter pilot, Vietnam 1969. We're going to be two great conversations. Number one, we're going to be talking about beer today, so stay tuned for that one. And also, we're going to be paying a little homage to our really good departed friend, Michael J. Martin. Michael J.'s daughter is going to be on the program in just a little while. That's Andy Martin. And we're going to be playing some of Michael's songs for you today. And if you have any songs that you would like to hear, feel free to give us a call here on Veterans Radio. The local number is 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. So Michael J. Martin is going to be here through his music, and I know all of you out there love his music as much as I do, and I just can't wait to play some of these tunes and get some of your response here. Again, that number is 734-822-1600. You can send me an email to dale@veteransradio.net. You can follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter and all the other social media that's out there. We're just not sure exactly how it all works, but we get the messages. All right, first of all, I got a couple of real quick announcements to make, and then we'll get into our beer discussion, which is important. All right, coming up, number one is, I don't know if you remember the guest that we had a couple of weeks ago talking about veteran suicide, and so we wanted to, they came up with a fundraiser here. It's called Defeat Depression Dash, and this is through the National Network of Depression Centers and the University of Michigan Depression Center, and the Defeat Depression Dash is coming up on Saturday, October 15th in Ann Arbor, Michigan. This is the second annual Defeat Depression Dash. I want you to come on out there. It is, as I said, Saturday, October 20th. Got two dates here. Looks like the 25th. I'm a little bit early here. Anyway, to register, go to defeatdepression-.org. defeatdepression-.org to find out more about this very important fundraiser. They do a great job of getting information out, but I think we got to make sure that we got the two dates are correct. It looks like the 15th is the big one. That's on there more than once. So we'll check that one out. The second thing that is coming up is a fundraiser in Royal Oak, Michigan. And this is a Victory Gala that is being put on this coming Thursday, October 13th, to support the Michigan World War II Legacy Memorial that is being built in Memorial Park in Royal Oak. For those of you that have been up in Royal Oak recently, you know they have this huge statue of the Navy sailor kissing the girl in Times Square at the end of World War II. And so that's been up there for a couple of weeks, and that was to promote this gala for the Michigan World War II Legacy. If you would like to go to this, it's a black tie specialty. I don't have a black tie, but I would like to go. And for more information, you can just go to MichiganWW2Memorial.org, MichiganWW2Memorial.org. Find out more information about this the Victory Gala that is coming up this Thursday evening from 6:30 to 10:30 at the Royal Oak Farmers Market. So be there. And the other final thing that I wanted to mention was a Michigan Veterans Career Fair coming up in Detroit, Michigan on November 3rd, 2016 at Ford Field. Hey, the Lions won today. Congratulations to them. So this is to sponsored by Recruit Military, and it will produce a free veteran career fair for veterans, transition to military members, National Guard members, reserve members, and spouses. Again, this is on November 3rd, 2016, from 11 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon at Ford Field. For more information, visit them at recruitmilitary.com. That's recruitmilitary.com. So those are the announcements. Now let's get into the really serious things of talking today. I didn't know this until I was out at a local submarine sandwich shop here in Ann Arbor, and there was a sign on the wall, and it said Veteran Beer Company. And I said, wow, that sounds good to me. I wonder who that might be. So I did a little investigating, and I found out that there is indeed a veteran-owned, veteran-brewed Veteran Beer Company. And joining me in the studio right now is our Michigan representative for this company, and that's Greg Lewandowski. And come on up closer to the microphone a little bit there,
yep.
who is a Marine Corps veteran and is the director of the State of Michigan and Internet and Social Media Director for the Veteran Beer Company. Greg, welcome to the program.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
All right. So tell me a little bit about Veteran Beer Company. What is this all about?
Well, like you said, we're 100% owned and operated by veterans. You know, I myself am a disabled Marine Corps veteran. And also 10% of our top line revenue goes to local veteran charities. But also that's our minimum that we are allowed to give. Right now we give about 22%.
So but tell me about the Veteran Beer. Who's the founder of this?
Our founder is CEO and founder is Paul Jenkins. He started the company in 2012.
And so is he a veteran himself?
Yep. He is a disabled Navy pilot. And so he served many years ago. He probably doesn't like to talk about how long ago. I want to say he got out in, early 90s.
Okay. He's still a young kid as far as I'm concerned. I got out in 1971.
He would love to hear that. I'm going to pass that along.
So, yeah, pass it along, right? He's a young guy. You were telling me a story a little earlier that I thought was kind of fascinating. How did you come up with the idea for Veteran Beer Company? And explain the concept to our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So the company is based out of Chicago, but right now we distribute in Indiana, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and recently Michigan. We launched about 3 months ago. So based in Chicago, that's where our CEO, CFO, our paperwork and all that is based out of. So we were founded in 2012, and in 2012, Our CEO was at a conference right here in Detroit, Michigan. He was a big advocate even then for veterans, and he spoke at this veteran unemployment summit, and he realized there wasn't to him a lot of teeth in what was being said. It was a lot of like patting each other on the back and that a boy. So on his way home, he decided, we could do better. I can do better. So he decided then and there that he was going to create a company that was 100% owned and operated by veterans. And then on top of that, he was doing some research. He was Googling. I like to think he was the passenger in the car. He wasn't driving.
I hope so.
And so he was doing his research, and he came across that a large beer company donated $600,000 to veteran charities that year. And we said, he said, wow, that's great. And even now, I'd say, wow, $600,000, that's great. Any charity would be happy to get that amount of money. Where he found issue was that they spent, later in his research, he found out they spent $16 million to promote that $600,000. So he said, there's a disconnect there. We can do better. And that's where in our company, we don't spend any money in advertisement. We spend we spend that money on donating to veteran charities. Because when he founded the company, he knew, he was going to try and employ as many veterans as he can. He wanted to highlight how good veterans can be if you give them the opportunity. But he knew even if it took off and he gets other companies to do the same, he wasn't going to be able to employ everyone. And those people that are unemployable, we wanted to be able to help. And that's where that 10% really comes in. And, we donate back to that. And that's our minimum. Right now, we actually donate about 22%.
So I'm looking at their website now. Go to, for our beer connoisseurs out there, it's veteranbeercompany.com, and it says award-winning beer. Of course it is.
Absolutely.
And tell me what the types of beer are that you have.
So we have the Blonde Bomber, we have Freedom Road, and we have the Huya IPA. So we have three different styles. Also, within the next month, we should have a seasonal coming out. It's going to be our winter seasonal. What's going to be called Bunker Buster. So we're pretty excited about that. And that's the thing. All, 100% owned and operated, 10% of the company goes to local veteran charities. All that's great. But if we're not an amazing, great product, almost none of that really matters.
Right. Nobody's going to drink
because
the beer.
We're not a charity. We give to charities. So what we always try and tell people is that the most important thing is that they enjoy the beer and that it's a beer that they don't want to donate to. It's a beer they want to pick up every single time. And hey, you happen to be doing something great for veterans as well. And we've went into 42 national events and we've taken home medals in 39 of them. So we've done very well. But really the test is people sampling and getting out there and drinking it and then drinking it again and again and again. Because that's
Again and again.
Well,
we don't want to promote too much
Maybe a few in one sitting, but not
right, just a couple.
Yeah. If you're going to pick a beer, it's our hope that you pick up veteran beer.
How long have you been in Michigan?
We launched about 3 months ago. I started with the company about 6 months ago. I started on a part-time basis. And and then right before we launched, which was just before 4th of July weekend, I started full-time. And then we've been going ever since.
Okay. And so is there a a place where we can look, where we can find, where we can buy the beer, or is it kind of a hit and miss right now?
Right now, what we're doing is we're focusing on key areas. We go from around central to eastern Michigan, all the way south from there. So we go from Lansing all the way over to Detroit and then mm-hmm. and southern, and we're going to continue to grow. We focus on key cities right now because, as I say, we don't want it to be a scavenger hunt. We don't want to be mm-hmm. Where's Waldo of beer. So right now you can find us in a few locations throughout that territory, but our goal is to focus on key areas and then start to gain the momentum and then break out, you know, and really start to travel from there. Like mm-hmm. you said, here you noticed it in a pizza place. In the Ann Arbor area, within the next even, you know, Monday, there's going to be a lot more, you know, mm-hmm. restaurants, bars, liquor stores, things like that, you know, grocery chains that are going to have us, okay. you know,
available. So suppose I owned a restaurant and I wanted to carry your beer. Who would I contact in the local area?
They would contact their Miller Coors rep, which in this territory is O&W. We mm-hmm. also have Powers, that's in Oakland and Macomb County, and we also have Dan Henry, that's in the Lansing area as well. Those are our three big distributors. They're the ones without them. None of this is even possible. So you reach out to, you know, if you own bar, restaurant, anything where you bring in, you know, beer, wine, mm-hmm. liquor, you can reach out to those three. And if you those aren't yours and you're in a further out area, mm-hmm. you start asking, because people asking for it from just the individual going into a liquor store, restaurant, asking for it,
right.
that'll bring us into there. The liquor stores and restaurants start asking their distributors for it. That's going to pick us up and bring us for the rest of the state as well.
Okay. Well, Greg, I want to thank you very much for coming on to Veterans Radio today. And
absolutely.
I wish Veterans Beer Company all the luck in the world. And I can't wait to test my samples later on. And we hope to have you back on the program and help you spread the word.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back on Veterans Radio. We are going to be coming back now shortly with music from Michael J. Martin. And we'll be talking with his daughter, Andy. So don't go away. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you shuffle to the left, shuffle to the right. Shuffle around the circus till your head feels like. Shuffle down the hall till you see the sign. And you're back where you started at the end of the line. Still the VA shuffle.
VA shuffle.
VA shuffle.
VA shuffle.
Takes a lot of patience for a veteran that's a patient at the VA hospital.
All right, we are back on Veterans Radio, and for many of us that work in and out of the VA hospital, that's one of our favorite songs. I know I'm humming it every time I go over there. We are privileged today to have joining us on our program and Michael J. Martin's daughter, Andy Martin. And Andy, I want to welcome you to Veterans Radio.
Hi, Dale. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are things down there in Texas?
Good. I'm kind of nervous. I could use one of those veterans beers right now.
We'll see if we can get one down to you. not within an hour. But I wanted to have you on the program today, and we've talked about this many times. I've been trying to find Michael J. Martin music for the last couple of weeks, and this guy was so prolific and just wrote so many songs. And unfortunately, many of them were back in the cassette days. And I know you've got something coming up, and we'll talk about that later. But so what was it like growing up with this traveling troubadour?
Well, that was the thing about Daddy. You know, he was so much to so many people, but he still always had time to be Daddy, you know. So he always, you know, made sure I was a part of it. He felt like it was very important for me to know what was going on. So I grew up going on the road with him as much as possible, as much as school would allow. So, you know, I was on the very first march in 85. You know, I still get teased about walking too fast because I wanted, at 8 years old, I wanted to be able to keep up with Daddy, so I had to learn how to walk fast. So I get teased about walking too fast now.
I hate to interrupt. Could you tell our audience about these marches? What was he up to?
Well, the very first march was in 1985, and it went from Dallas to the Alamo in San Antonio, 300 miles. And the whole point was to get attention for the Vietnam veteran and the POW MIA issue. No one was talking about it. No one wanted to talk about Vietnam at all. No one, half the people, half the veterans didn't even want to admit that they were there because there was this air of shame around it. And Daddy and Doc Holliday wanted to say, no, put your fist in the air and say, hell yes, I was there and I'm proud that I served my country. And you will honor me and you will stand at respect with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole point.
And I know.
Do not forget my brother that is left over there. You are not going to forget that he's still there. Quit telling me to forget.
Absolutely. Yeah, get over it. I think would probably be the comment that we heard so many times. And how would you describe your father's music?
Oh,
that's a tough question. I know.
Daddy, yeah, Daddy could. You know, he has songs that there's. I know that you don't have that particular CD, but his very first album that he did was Windmill, and there's songs on there that just the most beautiful melodies. And the way that Daddy could paint a picture, I mean, Van Gogh had nothing on him.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he could just make you feel like you were standing right beside him, seeing every little detail that he was seeing, you know, and nobody could do that. And then he could turn around and do a song like Bug or Face and just make you laugh hysterically. He could hit every single genre, you know, and just nail it. There was nothing that Daddy couldn't do. Including impersonations. I've still never seen anybody do a better Elvis Presley than my daddy.
I was listening to all the music, and I should have brought that one along. He does a pretty good impression of Johnny Cash, too.
Oh, he does a good Johnny, doesn't he?
Yes, he do. In fact, you were talking about how some of these songs were so important. I wanted to play one here. It's called I Ain't Here Alone, and this was one that I don't remember which particular CD I put it off of, and I've got to spread this a little bit because our technician is going to try and find the song for us. I think it's on a CD with my handwriting on it, black.
Well, it's actually on more than one, but it's also on Been There.
Yeah.
And it's also on, let's see, I believe it's Time to Lay It Down, and it's so you can get it on both of those, and it's also on Johnny Comes Marching Home.
Okay.
So.
No, he's loading that up right now. And it's one of those songs that when I listened to it, it just made me feel so much better that I wasn't alone. And I think that's one of the things that your dad was trying to do, was to let all of the Vietnam veterans and veterans in general just know that they're not alone. You know, even when
absolutely,
it's
a brotherhood and a sisterhood.
It is,
because it wasn't just the vets; it was the nurses that took care of them, and they were all in it together. And come home, put your fist in the air, say it with pride, and it still needs to be the message today.
Absolutely. So we're all queued up here, so we're going to take a listen to I Ain't Here Alone.
One night this fellow at the bar started talking about the war. Tears of rage welled up in his eyes. He said he had been through hell in the jungles and the jails. Just lost another job and another wife. He said they just don't understand what it does to a man. I just can't seem to shake it from my mind. I pulled up a stool. I said, shake the hand of another fool. I was there in 68.
That's Michael J. Martin with I Ain't Here Alone. And it's very, I don't know, it gave me goosebumps every time I listen to these songs.
I'm the same way.
I know. You think it's getting out. I found an interview that we did with your dad back in March of 2012 that I'm going to play after the news break. And he talks about his music, and he talks about the message that he was trying to get across was that, as you just pointed out so well, is that, you know, we are home, we are still comrades, we still want to fight together and take care of each other, and we can't let the people not do their part. And I think that that's really important. And he didn't want anybody to feel sad. I mean, some of the songs are sad, but they're uplifting in their own way, because he's trying to teach us, I think, to how to deal with the things that are going on around us.
Absolutely. You know, accept what you did, accept what you had to do, that you did what you had to do to survive, and that's okay. Come back and keep surviving. Mm-hmm. That was the message that Daddy wanted to keep going, and that's the message that needs to keep going today.
Well, every one of these songs, as I was listening to them, and I know you were listening to songs as well, because you keep sending me this is a good one, this is a good one. And, you know, they're all good. There are so many that I wanted to include. Tell me, I did find the one that was on your list, to Take a Ride on the Moon. Can you tell me a little bit about that one?
I can. That one is from the album with the same name, and it was written based on the Larry McMurtry book, Lonesome Dove. And that particular one has always been a favorite of mine. He wrote songs for it. You know, it's a lot of people, a lot of people's favorite movie. It was, you know,
Lonesome Dove, yes.
Tommy Lee Jones. And, you know, I mean, they did a great job, but he actually wrote the music before the movie ever came out. And I remember him coming up to me, I believe I was about maybe 7 or 8, and he said, "Hey, I have a new song, I want to play it for you." And he played it for me, and he asked me what I thought, and I don't know how to tell him this, but I went ahead and I was honest, and I said, "Well, Daddy, I think it's kind of silly. You can't ride on the moon." And so I remember him laughing and said, "Perfect, that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted silly." So, you know, that's always been a favorite of mine, and the whole album is great, and he does songs based on the characters in the book. And if you've ever read the book and seen the movie, the CD should be sold with the book. It goes right along with it. In fact, to the point that if anybody knows the character Blue Duck, mm-hmm. I can't even listen to that song because I can't hear Daddy be that evil.
Okay.
So
we're going to play a little bit of that song right now. We got about 4 minutes before we have to take a break, so we'll play a couple of minutes of it, and then we'll come back and talk to you in just a second. All right?
Okay.
Here we go.
The scout on this cattle drive was a black fella named Josh Dietz. He was a good, reliable man with uncanny senses and uncommonly good sense. Dietz enjoyed the simple pleasures of life. At night, he liked to ride the herd and calm them cows with a little tune. Well, sometimes at night I looks up at the sky, wants to take me a ride on the moon. And if it's peaceful and quiet and I can ease my poor mind, why, it don't look like it'd be hard to do. I just fetch me a ladder while she's hanging low, and climb up and hum her a tune. No need to saddle, why, I just grab me a hold and take me a ride on. Take me a ride on the moon. Take me a ride on the moon. Round up the stray stars and be back before morning. Take me a ride on the moon. Well, tomorrow there's bound to be waved and needs done.
And that was Michael J. Martin. And take a ride on the moon. I don't see why that's not possible.
Well, at 7 or 8, I was still trying to put the logistics of it together. So.
Well, that's true. That is true. So tell me how his music. Well, let me talk a little bit. Maybe you can talk a little bit about. Did you know Tim Holliday?
Very well. Yes.
Tell me a little bit about.
I can't remember a time
partner.
When I didn't know Doc.
Okay.
So.
Can you tell me a little bit about Doc Holliday? Because we're going to be talking with his wife Dixie in November and playing more of their music.
Well, Doc was about one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life, and his voice. Obviously, he had the most incredible singing voice, but just his speaking voice. He could probably talk anybody into anything with that voice. That voice just made you want to stop, shut up, listen, and do whatever he said to get him to keep talking. He just had this incredibly calming way about him, and I miss him. I miss him so much. He had this great smile, too. He would do this kind of sideways smile, mm-hmm. and you were just waiting for the next thing to drop, you know, and the two of them working together it was perfect. You couldn't have planned it better.
Well, we got
stars aligned that day.
You can hear our music come on up there underneath there. So we got to take a break for the news. We're talking with Andy Martin, the daughter of Michael J. Martin. We're going to have more of his music on the other side and a little clip of an interview with him. So you're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back.
I'm telling you if you don't know.
I'm telling you if you don't know.
Something's coming down the road.
Something's coming down the road.
We call ourselves Last Patrol.
We call ourselves Last Patrol.
We come to bring our brothers home.
We come to bring our brothers home.
Sound off.
1, 2.
Sound off.
3, 4.
Bring them all home.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
B-O-W-M-I-A.
B-O-W-M-I-A.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and you are listening to the music of Michael J. Martin. And joining me on the line today is his daughter, Andy Martin. And Andy, we're back again after a break, as I said. What we're doing right now is we're loading up the interview that we did with your dad a number of years ago. And I wanted to let our audience know not only that they could go into our archives and find it, just type in their search engine, type in Michael J. Martin, but that he has been on our program at least 3 times. And in fact, he's had his guitar in our studio here and played a couple of songs with us.
Yeah.
Which was pretty awesome.
Was it the one that he had signed?
Yeah. He gave Gary, gave up my partner, Gary Lilly, a CD I can't remember which one it was, though, but across the top of it, it said, "This is your own personal copy. Don't lose this one."
Gary Lilly was a good friend of his. Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, we've got this interview, and this is from 2012, and it runs about 5 minutes. I'm going to ask you to listen to it, and then we'll comment when it's over, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Hit the interview.
Welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Hey. It's good to be back, Dale. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
Oh, hanging in.
You know, it's interesting listening to that song, why I picked that, and with all three of you that have been on the program today, is that your job, what you are doing, is letting the world know that these veterans that are coming home have, you know, many of us have paid the ultimate price. Some of us are just a little bit messed up from whatever it was that we did, and that we're not going to forget about any of them.
Well, that was the objective, you know, when Tim Holliday, old Navy corpsman, and I teamed up. I was an Army grunt point man for most of my year tour. And so the combination of the two of us, we kind of covered the whole spectrum there. But we set out from the get-go. We said, well, we're going to take on a very serious subject matter, but we're going to do it with pride and we're going to talk about the camaraderie, and we're not going to be crying in your beer. That didn't get you anywhere. That self-pity is quicksand. It's a booby trap. So we stayed away with, you know, our songs are very real, but we stayed away from the pity that so many of the other artists, you know, the people that aren't Vietnam veterans, they tend to write with a overly sympathetic point of view. You know, they born in the USA and still in Saigon and so forth. It's like, well, he didn't hear these poor guys that we should feel sorry for them. And I've never met a warrior that didn't want anybody to feel sorry for him.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And I think that that's so important. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do this program was, you know, all three of you have served in combat, and all of your songs are really, I find them all positive. Even if they're sad songs, there's still a very positive story behind them.
Well, I'm from the Woody Guthrie school. You know, he wrote about the Depression. But he said that it wasn't his job to bring people down. It was to lift them up. You know, so I've always used that credo, you know, and tried to make my songs, to write my songs in such a way that they wouldn't lift people up.
Well, we've been very fortunate in knowing Michael J. Martin for quite a while. He's a good friend of our former partner, Gary Lilly. And he's been up here in Michigan a number of times to perform. In fact, back, I think you were on one of our programs at one of our other stations, and you were playing live. And that's just amazing to download about when your daddy comes home.
I think that one's probably the most relevant. That would probably have been a really good choice. And it talks about, you know, again, we go back to the realism, you know, that it's when your daddy comes home, it's those heart-rending images of these guys coming home to their families and so forth that they played on the news so much. But I think that a lot of times they don't understand that there's going to be more to it. There's a one verse in it that says, when your daddy comes home, he may want to be, it's like a grandfather talking to the daughter, you know, and he said, when your daddy comes home, he may want to be alone. He may go off on his own sometimes. What we need to know is that we've done nothing wrong. It's just the war that he has known still on his mind. And I think that it kind of prepares people to let them know that even the ones that came out, apparently, in one piece, there's still scars and anybody who's been touched by war is going to be impacted. And a lot of times that they overlook the casualties at home, the families that have to do with that fathers
and
that husband, so forth, you know. So I think that this kind of, this gives a nod in their direction too, and I've really gotten great response off the song. You know, I'm recording here in Nashville with some really great people now, and I'm doing the best quality of music that I've ever done, I believe.
Well, I'm going to be very excited to get that CD, Michael J., and as soon as I get it, we'll schedule you for another program so that we can listen to your new music. Because
anytime. You mentioned Gary Lilly. I'm sure that you miss him terribly, too, you know, and he's a guy that, you know, he was very helpful to me in my career, and he's the one that brought me up to Michigan. You know, for 10 years running, playing in colleges and high schools and so forth, you know, and I could do what he couldn't do. He couldn't sing. He said, if I could sing, I wouldn't need you. But he made it possible for me to do what I did, you know, that he set those things up and backed me. And, you know, he wasn't just a great friend. He was a great supporter, you know, and he really did help me get my music out there. I just miss him terribly.
I know
he helped so many veterans. He was just completely dedicated.
I certainly understand exactly how you feel and the things that you're saying. And, you know, every time you'd run into Gary, you'd always say, what have you done to help a veteran today?
Yeah, that was his mantra.
It was his mantra. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, Michael J., and I'm sorry that we don't have the opportunity to talk a little bit more, but we're going to go out today on a song that Gary loved and that I love too, and it's entitled The Last Warrior. And could you just give me about 30-second description of that song?
Yeah, it's Who's Going to Fight the Fight When the Last Warrior is Gone? Actually, they played that. You know, I was too sick to make Gary's service, but I was so honored that they used that in his service because it was one of his favorite songs, and it did really, you know, present the challenge. Who's going to fight the fight when the last warrior's gone? Who's going to keep on fighting these righteous causes that we have, you know, committed ourselves to? Yeah. And he did. He lived it. He didn't just listen to the song. He lived it.
That's true. Well, Michael J. Martin, thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio.
Anytime, Dale. Give me a call anytime. Great talking to you.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio. That was Michael J. Martin from March of 2012. The other two singers that I was referring to, we were doing a program that day on veteran troubadours, was Lem Genovese and Sarge Linticum. We've got Andy Martin, the daughter of Michael J. Martin, on the line, so I didn't mean to kind of throw that at you, but I just thought it was such a poignant
it's
interview
okay.
with him.
I like hearing Daddy talk.
He's got such a comforting voice.
Definitely, as long as he's not mad at you.
Well, that's true. I'm sure he was never mad at me, so I'm very happy about that. He mentioned in the interview that, and I wanted our audience to understand it, that both he and Doc Holliday were Vietnam veterans. Your father was in the Army and was a point man, and he received a Silver Star and Purple Heart and many other awards for the things that he did in Vietnam.
Yeah, Silver Star, Bronze Star, Purple Heart, Combat Infantryman's Badge. Yeah, he was a point man for about 8.5 months.
Right. So he lived the fight. And Doc Holliday was in the Navy, and he was also over there for a long, long time, it seemed like.
I believe Doc did 3 tours, if I remember correctly.
Phew, that's like today's veterans. You know, also, of course, we are remembering that Michael J. Martin did pass away 2 years. Oh, geez, it's been 2 years now.
It's been almost 2 years, December 2nd of 2014.
Right, and so we just love talking about his music, and I wanted to play that song "When Your Daddy Comes Home," if that's all right with you.
Absolutely, it's something that people don't always think about. They get so excited that someone's coming home, whether it be their father or their mother. They get so excited they don't remember that there's other things that are going to come with it. And it's important to remember that person's coming back different.
Right. Okay, this is Michael J. Martin. So here we go, "When Your Daddy's Coming Home." Comes home.
Your daddy comes home, honey, we're gonna throw our arms around him. Our whole family will surround him and hold him tight. Then we'll bring him on home, honey, and show the picture you drew for him. Say a prayer and thank the Lord he's home alive. But it's gonna take time to heal the wound. Have to keep in mind what he's been through. Just believe it will be fine someday. When your daddy comes home. When your daddy comes home, my.
That was Michael J. Martin, "When Your Dad Comes Home." Wow. So many of his songs just take your breath away. When you listen to them, even you know, you listen to them many times, I'm sure that they do. You mentioned when we were talking earlier that unfortunately you did not inherit the musical talent that you said that your dad had.
Oh, no. No. No, I used to sing with Daddy on stage when I was little. I used to stand on a chair next to him, and we did Funnificent, which was a song he wrote forever ago for a actual fishing program that used to be on. But back then, it was super cute for like a 5 or 6 year old to stand on a chair and basically make noise, you know. So, yeah, no, I don't think.
Well, you know, there are so many albums out there, Andy, that your dad produced, and it sounded like, you know, trying to get his career off the ground, that he played at a lot of those, you know, the honky-tonk bars of Texas and all around the southwestern United States.
Oh, yeah. That's how I grew up, you know. I mean, that was just normal to me to be there on a Friday or Saturday night watching Daddy play, you know, so... That was my normal thing. I loved it.
What do you think was it that finally, I don't know if you want to say kicked off his career, but brought him more national attention? Do you have any idea?
Well, I believe the message that him and Doc, that message resonated with people. People needed to hear that it was okay to be proud of the service that they had done for this country in Vietnam. And it just, you know, it skyrocketed. You know, everybody wanted to say it, but nobody had the courage to say it out loud until Daddy and Doc started saying it for them. Mm-hmm. And then everybody could say it. And it, you know, this brotherhood and sisterhood connected like just dots all over the country, and it brought people together. They needed that. They needed to hear that they were proud and that there was respect for it. And I believe that just brought so many people together. And those people are still proud today. You know, I mean, I'm in touch with so many of the vets that were on those marches, and that is my family. Mm-hmm. And they've helped me get through the past 2 years, you know, and I'd be nowhere without them. They've continued that brotherhood by taking me in, you know, and making sure that I'm okay all the time. I have so many surrogate parents I can't even count. I'm very lucky.
Well, you are, and you know, it's spreading the message around. I know that the first time I heard of him was Gary telling me that he had been, that your dad and had been at a Vietnam Veterans of America conference or convention, and that's, you should see that I have this old carrying case, I guess you could say, CD case that Gary had. And that's where I was finding all of these CDs, and some of them were just ruined. They had mm-hmm. they had no grooves or whatever you get on a CD. They weren't there anymore, and which is why I ended up not having the songs that I had, because I was looking at the CDs. Oh, I've got that title, but when I threw it in my computer to play, it's going, "Don't do this to me. It hurts." No?
I sold more CDs to people when I was on the road with Daddy. Even back when he just had cassettes, I would sell more things to people because they had worn out their versions of it.
Oh, yeah.
Than anything else. And to this day, it's still the same way. People telling me they wore out their Johnny or their Time to Lay It Down, I need more copies.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the same way. People will listen to these until they just do not function anymore. That it's the message is there.
Well, they're just great songs. We talked just briefly the other day that you are hoping to maybe reissue some of these.
Yes, I'm in talks with someone about reproducing the Johnny and the Time to Lay It Down CDs. I do have some of his other CDs still available, but I'm working on it, and hopefully in the I hate to say by the first of the year, I think that's cutting my time frame a little bit short, but we have the All Veterans Reunion in Brevard County, which is mm-hmm. Melbourne, Florida, at the end of April, and it's the 30th reunion, and Daddy did that gig for over 20 years, and I did it with him for 8, and mm-hmm. we will be at that, and come hell or high water, I will have those CDs. So at the very latest, by the end of April, I will have Johnny and Time to Lay It Down.
Okay. All right. Well, we're counting on that, and I want to play two more songs before we're done. We're running out of time here, and I told you it would go fast.
Well, I'm a Martin. I can talk a lot.
That's fine. I'm going to ask Derek if you could find a song that says "I am with my friends," and then the last song I want to play is the "Who Are the Names on the Wall."
Absolutely.
Okay. So he's over there. Running around. I'm stretching here as we got to load those up, but that's okay.
Well, you know that "I Am With My Friends" was a song written based on a letter that was sent from the Alamo.
Did you realize that? Tell me that story.
Well, one of the warriors, it's kind of a compilation of letters that was sent from the Alamo a man was writing to his daughter to let her know that he probably wouldn't be coming home, that this was going to be it for him. And that's what I Am With My Friends is about.
This is the real
it was
battle.
A very important thing to Daddy and I, because we are ancestors, or we had an ancestor at the Alamo. So okay. Being descendants of the Alamo and Texans is a big deal.
I was going to say, this is the real battle of the Alamo. We're talking
absolutely.
Yeah, we're talking 1800s here.
1836, yeah.
There we go. See, because you're from Texas. That's why you would know these things.
Right? They kick you out if you don't.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we've got this I Am With My Friends loaded up, and so we're going to play a bit of that right now.
Well, we rode down to Texas from our homes in Tennessee, looking for a reason worth fighting for, some call it liberty. I never knew we'd be so outnumbered, but I guess I'd have to do it again. But don't you worry about me, dear daughter, I am with my friends. We had a chance to choose surrender, but we were bound to cross that line. We are the Alamo's defenders. We'll pay the price to buy some time. There's a reason to remember. It's in the hearts of all good men. But don't you worry about me, dear dog. I am with my friends. Don't you worry about me, dear daughter. I am with my friends. There's never a need to explain yourself when you're a man among men. It's the most desperate situation I ever have been in. But don't you worry about me, dear daughter. I am with my friends. As I write this letter, it's like I'm looking in your eyes. There's so much I want to say, dear dog, but it's time to bid goodbye. You know your daddy loves you. Think of me now and then. But don't you worry about me, dear dog. I am with my friends. Don't you worry about me, dear daughter. I am with my friends.
Michael J. Martin, and I Am With My Friends. We're talking. It does. It just takes your breath away every time.
Yeah, it's kind of taken on a new connotation for me, but it's a beautiful song.
I know. I should have warned you. But it was so powerful when I first listened to it, and I can't remember the first time I listened to it.
It's always been one of my favorite songs, and it's actually the very first song I played after he passed, because it is absolutely true. He is with his friends.
He is, and he's with a lot of other friends, and we're going to go out in just a little bit on the Who Were the Names on the Wall, which it talks about, obviously, the Vietnam Wall, and, you know, some of the people that have passed away, their names are not on the wall, but I think that their passing is a direct result of whatever they were exposed to while they were in Vietnam.
Absolutely, in one form or another.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. Physically, mentally, combination of the two. I mean, some of these, you know, and I know that your dad was a big advocate for the government, you know, coming forward and admitting some of the things that occurred. And so we just, that's our goal. Those of us that are still around, we're going to keep going. We had their backs then. We have your backs now. And as they say, you know, never give up, never surrender. I can't wait to
hear your voice loud.
Pardon?
Keep your voice loud.
That's right. Yes. You know, you have to be loud for people to hear you. And I think that that's what is so important. And, you know, we had Sammy Davis on the program a couple of weeks ago in this kind of weird seven, you know, layers of separation thing. Is that, you know this, but our audience doesn't, but he is married to, his wife's name is Dixie, and she was married to Doc Holliday.
Yes.
And unfortunately, he died of cancer, and Sammy's wife died of cancer, and they kind of hooked up at one of these meetings, and so, you know, now everybody's all involved, and I just think it's wonderful, and I'm hoping that, I want you to mark on your calendar right now, I think it's November 20th, that Dixie's going to be on the program, and we're going to be trying to throw more of your dad's and Doc's music together for that one.
Okay, that'd be great.
All right, anything you'd like to say? We got about 3 minutes to go, and then I want to go out on that song. So
I really appreciate you putting Daddy's music out there, not just for Daddy's sake, but for those that it helps, because that was what mattered most to Daddy. Yes, of course, you know, he loved being a musician and he loved performing, but it was the message that mattered most. And I made him that promise when he got sick that I would not let the music die. And what you're doing is helping me keep that promise. So play the music as much as you can. Get the message out there. Let people know that they're not alone, that they're not the only ones who have gone through it, that there are still people to help them, and just to reach out wherever they can.
We will do that.
And I just want to say thank you, Dale.
Thank you, Andy. I promise we will do that ourselves. All right. So that was Andy Martin, daughter of Michael J. Martin. We're going to play a final song for him, but I wanted to add a couple of names to the list. I want to dedicate who were the names on the wall to Doc Holliday, Michael J. Martin, Gary Lilly, and most recently locally is David Doc Martinez. This is Who Are the Names on the Wall. Until next week, you are dismissed.
Don Michaels is on that wall, and Hurley Boy, and Dave Lynch,
Harlan Reed, Billy Thompson.
There's a lot of names that I can't recall. I never knew. Over there, everybody had nicknames. Okie, Doc, Zola, Booty. You hardly ever know somebody's real name. One guy got blown away on his first day. I didn't even have a chance to meet him. Many faces, like July.
Don Ron, Play Kumash, Shell Valley, Doc Toe, Case Simmons.
Faces is cool. It's hard to remember.
Who are the names on the wall? Who are the names on the wall? Did it ever really matter at all? Who are the names on the wall?
They were just like me, the names on the wall. Young and foolish, rash and full of bravado. Hell, a lot of them still virgin.
They weren't in so long.
Could have been my name on that wall. It probably is.